Good afternoon. This is Brother John Osmond here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly here at WYRN 1480 AM. And we pray that you're enjoying these messages. We're going to try and get back to Zechariah. I'm going to read Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. And once I get back here, we're going to try to stay with this book because there's a lot of stuff, as we've already seen, prophecies concerning Israel and the world, God's judgment. But I want to, since we've been off of Tyre for a while, this is going to be kind of like an introduction. And then I want to go through Ezekiel 26 maybe next week. I'm going to try to get most of it done, if not all of it, next Sunday. And then we're going to come back to the book of Zechariah and try to finish this book out so we can move on. But man, we don't want to rush through it. There's just so much, and especially with all that's happening today, the possibility of a red heifer being sacrificed in Israel, the anti-Semitism that's going on today in this country. I agree with the Prime Minister of Israel that it's reached the it's at a fever pitch where it was at prior to the Jewish Holocaust. A lot of hatred towards the Jewish people. And we've seen where that the Jewish people, even though God doesn't tell anyone to mistreat anybody, when they were standing there and before Pilate and Jesus and Barabbas was there, and Pilate said, "Which one shall I release unto thee?" And the religious leaders went through the crowd and said, "Ask for Barabbas, Barabbas, and crucify Jesus." And then when they started saying that, "Crucify, crucify him, crucify him," Pilate said he had not found no fault in him. And they said that their words were, "His blood be upon us and our children and our children's children." And I believe it's in Matthew 27. I'm going to look over there real quick. Yes, Matthew 27, verse 25. And they said, "Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and our children." And God's going to punish everybody that lays their hands on Israel. We saw that in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Which is where you read what's called the Abrahamic covenant. God said, "I'll bless them that bless thee," that he was speaking to Abraham, who's the father of the nation of Israel. And he said, "I'll curse him," in the singular. "I'll curse him that curseth thee." Let me just get over and make sure I got that correct. I've quoted it many times. Yes, he said, in verse 1 through 3 of chapter 12 of Genesis, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew or show thee. And I'll make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them," in verse 3 of Genesis 12, "that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So, we're seeing a lot of people that are in trouble with the Lord because of how they are handling and dealing with the Jewish people. And God is not pleased with that at all. So in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1 through 5, we're getting back. I want to get back to Tyre because it was Tyre was dealt with very much in the Old Testament. I don't know if you've ever done any studying on the city/state of Tyre, but it's really an interesting subject. The title of this message is "America is Dying Just Like Tyre Did." And so Zechariah 9 verse 1 through 5 says, "The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man as of all the tribes of Israel shall be toward the Lord. And Hamath also, and the border thereof, Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise, and Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as dust and fine gold as the mire of the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for her expectation, shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. So why did the Lord mention those cities in Zechariah 9, verse 5? Because when we get done with Exodus 26, if I feel led of the Lord, we'll go to chapter 27. And you read something very similar that you do in Revelation chapter 18. As Babylon will be the commercial center of the tribulation world. Back in the heyday of Tyre, back in Tyre's heyday, she was the commercial center of the Mediterranean Sea world. She reached all the way out to the edge of the Mediterranean Sea to Spain. And that's a long ways. That's a very large sea. The Mediterranean Sea is a very large sea. But we want to run a comparison today between America and Tyre. Tyre is no longer in her heyday. And I'm not a pessimist, because as long as there's breath, we've got hope in Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you from what I'm seeing right now, I cannot say that America is healthy. Spiritually, socially, economically, they've been a spiritual darkness come over not only America, but the world, and it's changing people. I was listening to a man talk in a conversation on television, and I agree with this 100%. I've mentioned this before to you, that since COVID, that something where they've had, where people, millions of people were locked down, something has happened to people. Not everybody, but it seems like people's living on the edge more than ever before. And I believe that that comes from all the insecurity that they're seeing on the news, and plus how much more they're paying for their food and gas and clothing and everything. I think last I heard that it cost about close to $10,000 now to live the same lifestyle that you had just 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And people's at their wits' end. And this carries over into other parts of their life. It is my desire to go through Ezekiel 26. We'll probably do that next Sunday. And I just want to make a comparison between Tyre and America. And we want to see just how much these two are alike. We might be able to get into a verse or two tonight, but we'll see. And as you read Ezekiel 27, as I've mentioned, you can see that Tyre, as America, was a distributor of goods. Of course, America's reach is much further. Our economy fuels the world. But I'm telling you, we're struggling. And to be quite honest with you, we're going down. And if God does not intervene, we're going to crash as a nation. And of course, we need to be thinking about our blessed Savior's any moment return. Because Jesus Christ is going to come back and right the wrong. But all those nations became dependent upon Tyre in Ezekiel 27. As the world has one way or another become dependent upon America. But that doesn't matter to God. What matters to God is righteousness. And whether it's a person or a nation, their sins. Now, their sins have got to be dealt with. And the elect of God, their sins were dealt with at Calvary. But since you and I who are saved, we commit the sins daily that Jesus Christ died for. Did you ever think about that? And that doesn't give us a ticket to sin. We're, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, if Christ Jesus lives in you, Romans 8, verse 9 through 11, there's no way you can sin and be happy. But we're committing the very sins that Christ died for, or else he would not have had to have died. So, even though our sins were taken care of at Calvary, God, being the just God that he is, has to deal with us on a daily basis. And that's what 1 John is all about. Especially chapter 1 and Hebrews 13, where that even though we're saved, God the Father, being our Heavenly Father, chastises us just like our earthly parents did. And he doesn't do that unless we've done something wrong. But it doesn't matter how important a nation is, whoever it is, whether it be America or China, Canada, it doesn't matter. If they do not serve the Lord, if they do not do what's right, they're going to answer to God, even in this life. And I believe that what we're witnessing today with America and the invasion of the illegals, all the Palestinian protests that's chanting death to America on our own ground, such as up in Dearborn, Michigan. The colleges, so many of our colleges are being overtaken by these, they're not protests, they're riots. By people, by Palestinians and college students who support Hamas over Israel. We cannot sit here and say that America is in a good way with God. And I believe this is part of his chastening hand. We're not going to have a peace. I don't think the days of peace are ever going to come back to this country. And let me just say this. I keep hearing, and I understand what they're saying. They keep saying, Donald Trump, I hear this on the news all the time, Donald Trump is the only person that's going to be able to save America. I understand what they're saying. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is the only person, that's with a capital P, that's going to save America if it is his will. Now, the false gods of Tyre and America. Yes, America has false gods. Even though we may not worship the same way those in ancient days did, we have false gods. I'll tell you who the number one false god there is in the world today. And that's yourself. Before you were saved, self became God. And there's times even after we're saved, we act like Jesus is not Lord of our lives, don't we? Those who lived on the island of Tyre worshiped the god of fertility. Now in Israel, this god's name was Baal, B-A-A-L. But the Tyranians, those who lived in Tyre, named this false god Melkart, M-E-L-K-A-R-T, also spelled M-E-L-Q-A-R-T. Now, this show you how powerful that Tyre was. This false god made its way over into the 10 northern tribes. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 29 through 23, it says, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omri, to reign over Israel." Now, at this time, the nation has been split into two nations. "And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now, Asa, as we saw in the first part of that verse, in verse 29, was king of Judah. So we got Israel and Judah. This is before the Assyrians came in and took the 10 northern tribes captive. And that left only Judah. And Babylon came in about 100-some years later and took over Judah for 70 years. Verse 30 of 1 Kings 16, or verse 30 of 1 Kings 16 says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel." Now listen to this. "The daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he, talking about Ahab, reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Israel never recovered from Ahab. He was very wicked, and his wife was more wicked and meaner than a rattlesnake. And so, sin can destroy a nation. Our sins are destroying us, as we'll see here just in a minute. You cannot have what's going on in America and expect it to last. Tyre was a very ungodly city / state, and they were destroyed. But America has been spiritually immersed in the worship of this false god of fertility, which is Baal. Now, we don't use the name Baal over here. 99.9% of the people in America don't know who probably Baal is, but it was the name of a false god, and it had to do with sex. And the reason why that I say that America is spiritually immersed in the worship of this false god of fertility is because of the sexual perversion that's been made acceptable by a great many of our higher educational institutions, corporations, and government. Now keep in mind, in 2015, something terrible happened. That's when the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage equal to biblical marriage. And I'm going to tell you right now, this country's never been the same since 2015. We had a lot of sins prior to 2015, but no nation that I've read about has ever survived same-sex perversion. But it's not just same-sex now, it's transgender. And you can look at all the heterosexual perversion, where men and women are living together, not married, having sex outside the bonds of holy matrimony. So we may not use the name Baal today, but what this false god was in Tyre and in the land of Canaan can be seen everywhere in America. Just look at America today. I mean, we are so immersed in sexual perversion that we're not going to pull out of this. It's going to take national repentance to come out of this. Tyre did not repent, and she was destroyed. Look what God did with Egypt and poured out his 10 plagues upon Egypt when Moses went in there to get the children of Israel out of there. And so God's not going to let sin go by. Now in Matthew chapter 11, verse 20 through 24, I want you to listen to what Jesus said. I'm going to read that to you right now. It says, "Woe." I'm going to start at verse 20. "Then began he," speaking of Jesus, Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, "then began he to upbraid," or chew out what we would say today, "the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." You see, that's what it's all about right there. Now, there's two different types of repentance. There's conscience repentance, and there's Holy Spirit repentance. Judas Iscariot repented. Let me get over here real quick. I just about turned to it. When Judas was convicted that what he had done, he says in Matthew 20, you don't have to turn over. Matthew 27, verse 3 says, "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself." So there's a big difference between self-repentance and Holy Spirit repentance. "When he saw that he was condemned," in Matthew 27, verse 3, "repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.'" And verse 5 says, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Now, had Judas experienced Holy Spirit repentance, he would not have hung himself. He would have went and cast himself before Jesus and asked for forgiveness. Holy Spirit repentance brings people to Jesus. So in verse 20 of Matthew chapter 11, then began he, Jesus, to upbraid, speak angrily to the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum. Now these cities were on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, right on the shoreline. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. America has a terrible judgment waiting on it. And the goat nations, every nation has two nations of people living in it. Every state in America has two families living in it, the family of God, the family of Satan. And these families do not crisscross. Bloodlines do not change. The elect of God, the non-elect of God. The sheep and the goats. Every nation has sheep and goats. Every state in this country has sheep and goats. I'm going to feel comfortable saying that every country in all the continents has, and every county has sheep and goats. And so repentance is what it's about. Jesus Christ in his gospel, along with his holy word, the authorized King James Version, I want you to listen to this, built America. This is why we're in more trouble than Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have the churches. They didn't have the seminaries. They didn't have anything about God. They were absolute heathen. They had Lot there, but that was it. America, so many of the Lord's particular type of blood-bought Baptist churches. There's other ecclesias that's not the Lord's, but they teach truth. There's a lot of people that saved, not in the Lord's churches, that believes truth. But I'm telling you, this country, there's no excuse for us falling into sin like we have with the amount of Bibles that we were able to have, all the information we can look up and study on our phones, on the computers. You can go to sermon audio and listen to any preacher you want. Sodom and Gomorrah never had any of that. So Jesus Christ and his gospel, along with his holy word, built America. John 8, verse 32, Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This is what's getting America in trouble with God, is America knows the truth. There's many in our government that knows the truth, and they choose of their own free will to remain evil. In John 8, verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." For those of God's saints who are able to run for office, and I'm speaking mainly to the men because God made the man first. I don't believe God's pleased at all with women leading men, but I will say this. Praise God for the women that's up there in Washington that's standing for the truth. Because right now there's more women standing for the truth, seems like, than there are men. And that's a shame. We Christians are the reason why this country's in the shape it's in, because I was reading a history book where back around 1850, the Christians pulled back out of the world of academics, the entertainment, the media, and politics. And I want you to look at our country now. I believe it was John Adams, our second president, said that, or third president, he said, our Constitution was made only for a religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for any other. And so the reason why nobody's paying attention on the left to the Constitution is because they have no fear of God in them. Now, America's second founding, which took place in 1620 A.D., was mostly done by Church of England people who tried to purify the church, and when they saw they couldn't, they migrated over here to America. Now, America is the last bastion of freedom for the world. There's not another nation like America. And why there's people wanting to tear down America is beyond me, but they are. They're in our government. Immigrants used to want to come here to be Americans. They'd come through Ellis Island, and it was a great thing to become American because they loved what America stood for. But it's not so today. They're coming up here to get the benefits. They don't want to be Americans. Millions have poured into our country to be freeloaders and to take America down. Let me tell you something. There's a whole lot of terrorists. What do you think all these young men that are military age, and I'm talking hundreds, thousands, what do you think they're coming over here for? But millions have poured through our southern border, and there's a lot of dangerous people, and now they're saying we're going to be attacked. It's not if, it's when. This country is completely out of control because we turned our backs on Jesus Christ, the gospel, and his word. We cannot support all the illegals that have come into this country. The poor working man and woman, their backs are broke. We can't afford to have much more taken from us. America acts like God is not even paying attention to her sins, but let me assure you, he is. We as Tyre have become arrogant in our thinking that we will be here forever. And God's showing us that we're not going to be here. We can lose this country at this next election. More people than ever here in America do not believe in God, do not believe in Jesus Christ, or attending church. And what this does, this increases the spiritual darkness that we are witnessing, and it's growing rapidly in this country. We're not learning from other people and other nations and their mistakes. That's the problem. We're like hogs at the trough, devouring all the world's delights. Biblical morality is as stale bread and sour milk to America, those in America, and to the world. But John said in 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know what's wrong with America, don't you, as I'm reaching our closing time here with about a minute and 10 seconds left. I'm going to use this word biblically. We got a bunch of fools in our country. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Well, when you don't believe there's God, then corruption is soon to follow. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And apart from the work of the Holy Spirit, none of us sought after God until the Holy Spirit quickened our hearts. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. This is Brother John Osborne here at the Landmark Baptist Church Assembly. Pray you'll join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. at WYRM 1480 AM. Till then, God bless.